Adams, and this is your home for AgriTalk on AM 860 KWPC and FM 95.1.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. Welcome to God Talk. These last 4 weeks, I have been dealing with prayer, how to pray, different ways of praying, and so forth. Well, I would like to turn today to the ultimate prayer book of the Bible, which is the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, which are prayer book, really, or Psalms that are really prayers, corporate prayers that the people pray together, individual psalms that are very personal, that you can recite, you can meditate on, you can pray on your own, you can bring into you can live through these psalms, and they give you great channels of how to approach God and how God is approaching you. It's been the prayer book of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people now, for what, 3,000 years? And it's been the prayer book of the church for 2,000 years. If you've ever been to like New Mellery Abbey or a Catholic retreat house where there are monks or nuns, and there's something called the Liturgy of the Hours that have been conducted, sung continuously for 1,500 years, it's built around the Psalms. Within, I think, about a two-week period, the monks will sing all 150 psalms during 7 worship services, short, mostly 15 minutes or so, that begin at 3:30 in the morning and end about 8 or 9 at night. And there are breaks during the day where they work, they read, they do other things, but their whole life is built around the psalms. And David, King David, whatever else you want to say about him, because he was a man after God's own heart, the only one about whom that's said in Scripture, he wrote God poetry. He wrote God psalms. So maybe that was endearing to God, just kind of like getting love letters, you know. And of the 150 psalms, 73 psalms are attributed to David. And I want to focus initially today on what for many is the greatest of all psalms. It's just the perfect psalm, Psalm 23, about the Good Shepherd. And maybe some of you have or have had or have seen pictures of Jesus as the Good Shepherd with sheep sitting around, and typically he's holding one sheep, which obviously had been the lost sheep from the parable of Jesus in Luke 15. I was one of those lost sheep for a long time, but thank goodness the Lord found me as I sought the Lord. And I remember as a child, the Baptist, American Baptist Church of the Redeemer in Brooklyn, New York, there was a painting of Jesus as a good shepherd in the narthex in the back of the church. And as a child in Brooklyn, New York, which is kind of a big city, and there are scary things about it, but I remember really identifying with that little lamb, with that little sheep that Jesus was holding and loving and had saved, and seeking God's protection, not just for myself, but for my family. You know, one of the worst things biblically is to be a sheep without a shepherd. Now, of course, the deal is we got to begin by recognizing that we are indeed sheep. Now, we may not like that, but it's true. Sheep can't see more than, I don't know, 6-8 feet ahead of them. How far can you see ahead of you? We get one day at a time, even though we can prepare for this, that, or the other. We don't always know how the day is going to turn out. But if you got a shepherd who sees ahead, then you're in good shape. one of the worst things in the Hebrew Bible that happens is that the people are without a good shepherd. The people are without someone who will guide them, protect them, keep them together, nourish them, give them wisdom and so forth, which I just have to say in passing, but I don't want to spend time here. Wherever you are politically, and I don't want this to be political, we are in serious trouble without having a clear good shepherd leading our flock in the United States today. And I'm not just including the president, Congress. People go their separate ways, divisiveness. All these things happen when we don't have a good shepherd. And of course, as Christians, our good shepherd is Jesus Christ. And before Christ came, the criticism of a people without a shepherd, which, by the way, was true in Jesus' day because there are a few times in Scriptures where Jesus has great compassion on the people because they are as sheep without a shepherd. Anyway, in Ezekiel 34, God says through the prophet, hey, I'm paraphrasing, but this is the point. The people are in great need of a shepherd, of someone to lead them down the right path, someone to bring them together, someone to protect them, someone to comfort them, someone to feed them. But God is not happy with the state of shepherds, the priests, the kings, the rulers. And so he says, through the prophet, God says in verse 11 of Ezekiel 34, "For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thickness." This is a beautiful message. Wow. And then here it is in verse 15. "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them with justice." It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. So this is kind of a context before Jesus comes, who indeed is our good shepherd. And so as I prepare to read and talk about Psalm 23, as we look at Psalms today, a psalm for us to memorize if you haven't already, a psalm for us to read, a psalm for us to meditate on, to think about, and to be struck with whichever section or sections of this psalm speaks especially to you today. This is a psalm, Psalm 23, that I read at most of the funerals that I have conducted over the years, which number in the hundreds. And what does the shepherd do? And we all need a shepherd. I guess that's kind of the way in. If a person says, I don't need a shepherd, I can handle myself. Good, okay, good luck. But what about death? Death is the point where we have no choice but to relinquish our control, but we need a shepherd, if we're ever going to need one. Because the work of the shepherd is to guide us like across one field to another, this life to whatever is to be, to protect us from, you know, wolves and things that would attack us that we cannot take care of on our own, also like diseases and so forth, and to make sure that we are nourish, that we get the right food and substance. All these Jesus provides. So here, let me just read the psalm, and I have to say, that even though I do not read the King James Bible anymore, I love the King James Version, as do many of us, of the 23rd Psalm. So that's always what I would read and talk about. So I'm going to read it, then I'm going to walk with you through each verse. And I want to invite you to enter into the psalm and to let it speak to you as if God is speaking to you, as if hopefully you're feeling a level of comfort today. And we always need a level of comfort every day. To comfort doesn't just mean to make you feel better. It means also to strengthen. Strength for the day can come from this psalm. So here it is, King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a lot in there, isn't there? Wow. So the Lord is my shepherd. We begin talking about each verse. And the word Lord used here means God, and it doesn't just mean God in the Hebrew. Lord means Yahweh. Lord is the name that God has given to his people, as we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our shepherd. And again, the work of the shepherd that we see here is to guide. So when I would be addressing the issue of death at a funeral, I would talk about the fact that the work of the shepherd is to guide us from one area, from one land, from this life, from one field to the next field, to make sure that we get safe passage across whatever it is between here and whatever is to be. We have a picture in our living room of Salvador Dali's masterpiece of, and it's in tan, a little bit of red, of a boat and the deceased being carried across whatever to the world to come. It's mystical. It's beautiful. Whatever is to come. Now, we could spend time here talking about those who have had near-death experiences, because I've been blessed to know some people who were clinically dead only to come back. And I've read a lot of research about it. I think I've addressed that on the show. Maybe I will again, because it's a great subject. Anyway, it's frequent that people, when they die, that it's like they float through a tunnel. And they hear a voice addressing them, calling them. And it's like a Christ, thinking of this one woman, it was like a Christ figure. Her name was Leslie, who was calling her, Leslie. And so she floated down. She said the feeling was just beyond beautiful, wonderful. She floated through this, almost like a birth canal, if you'll have it. And here was Christ calling her, like the good shepherd, come, I'll guide you, come. And she went through, and she said what she saw was this beautiful, beautiful green pasture. Exquisite green, and over to the right she saw was like a little river, and there was a little hill behind it, and here was her mother, her father, all who had preceded her, and family, and her mother was calling her, and she floated over to where her mother was, and there was this like there was a stream now, and the stream was, she said, was floating on top of the green pasture. And her mother said to her, "Don't get in the water, just take my hand." And her mother reached out, and here was Leslie looking at her beautiful mother, who she said her mother looked just wonderful. And she was reaching out with her hand for her mother, and she heard a voice saying, "We have a pulse. We have a pulse." And they brought her back. That's just one story. So whenever I even begin this, "The Lord is my shepherd," that's what I'm hearing. Christ is there for you and for me, and knows ahead of time what we're going to need, when we're going to need it, and will take care of us. That's a great place for a break. Hold on to that, and we'll continue in just a minute.
Proud to be the radio station you come home to. This is KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Selling your home can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. Hi, this is Anna Mack with Pearl City Iowa Realty, with offices serving Muscatine and Tipton. My experienced team of realtors and I are ready to help sell your home so that you can get into your next home. Call Pearl City Iowa Realty today and let's sell that house. 563-263-0433.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Clear skies today with daytime highs approaching 93. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 66. Tonight, mainly clear skies and quiet. A blend of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 89. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
KWPC, your home in the country.
All right, we're back. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a big statement. It's been said that religion becomes real when you experience your absolute helplessness, your absolute dependence, that if there's not a God, you're going to go under. Now, that's pretty dramatic, I know. But that's where it really opens. Just like with AA, the first of the 12 steps is the recognition that you're powerless. Hey, to be human means to be limited, my friends. We can't do and be everything. All of us are going to die at some point. All of us are going to have times when we need a shepherd to guide us, to comfort and strengthen us, to give us assurance, to give us peace and confidence that all will yet be well. So, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Just to be open to that reality means I'm sheep and I'm okay with that. I don't have to be in charge of my life. That's what being humble is all about. Humble is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. When you're looking to the good shepherd, you're not that worried about yourself because you're looking at the person who's going to take care of you. I shall not want, meaning no good thing, nothing that I need will my shepherd, the Lord, withhold from me, will deny me. Now, you're not going to get everything you want. Who of us is going to get everything we want? That would spoil the heck out of us anyway, like spoiling a child. What else would you like? You want this? Okay, you want that? And I've seen parents who drive me crazy because they're just out to try to make sure that their children have everything they want. Well, I shall lack nothing of the essential. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Wow. What does that mean? Well, sheep eat grass. So it makes me lie down is, it's going to be okay. Lie down and be at ease, be at peace. Go ahead, rest here. This is a beautiful place. You know, I had a newspaper column here in Muscatine 13 years in a row at the Journal, the Muscatine Journal, and the editors titled it Greener Pastures. I thought that was cute because I was a pastor at the time. Greener Pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, the word still in the Hebrew is menuah, which means the Sabbath waters, the waters of peace. So you lie down in green pastures, that's security, you got stuff right there. He leads you beside the still waters, gives us peace, gives us rest, which leads to, he restoreth my soul. Now, who else can you say that about? Who else but God can truly restore your soul when you seem to have lost it, when you're depressed, disillusioned, despaired, wounded? It's said that there is no wound that heaven cannot heal. I really believe that. Of course, we need to be open to the healing that God offers us. If you're not going to expose the wound to be cleaned and to have the holy salve put on it and the bandage of God's love, it isn't going to be healed. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, gosh. Okay. Again, the shepherd leads, right? Guides. The paths of righteousness, the word that's actually used in the Hebrew for paths really means ruts. In the old days, they had the wagon wheels, right? And if it'd be muddy or whatever, and you've seen this, I've certainly seen it in farming communities, or tires too, where there's big ruts that are caused. So he leads me in the ruts of righteousness. It's like God's going to, you know, put us in those ruts to move us in the right way, to get us living the life we need to be living in accordance with his will. Why will he do this? Because he's God. You know, hey, I'm going to do this for you, not because you deserve it necessarily, but because of who I am. That's what God's saying. For God's name's sake, this is who I am determines what I do. And we have a God who's beyond belief in how good and long-suffering and patient and forgiving this God is. So God will guide us and to do what is right because of God's name. I will be who I am. Now begins what most of my life has been my very favorite section. And note the incredible switch from the third person, he, the Lord is my shepherd, he maketh me lie down, he leadeth me, he restores, to second personal, you. But here it's a word that we can't use anymore, darn it, and that is thou. Thou. It's the singular you. All we can say is you and the same you, whether it's one person in their singularity or whether it's a thousand that we're addressing. It's you. We used to have a thou. Many Romance languages, including, I mean, German also, as well as French and Spanish, they have a singular first person thou that you can say thou art instead of you are. We can't. Just so you know, historically, we lost the thou during the Industrial Revolution in England when we became cogs in the wheel of manufacturing. So I'm going to say thou because that's the King James. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here it is. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wow. I tell you, I've had a few times in my life, maybe many of you have had, and I'm speaking as an old Marine, who fortunately wasn't ever in combat, but I had some harrowing experiences in training. And I've been chased before. I know terror. And I can remember being very quiet in a darkened hallway and praying those words, O Lord, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Be with me, God, be with me, for thou art with me. How many times in the course of the years I spent as a pastor have I been there with people who were in the valley of the shadow of death, and how quickly they discovered their call for God no longer as He, but as Thou. Be with me, Thou, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. The rod represents the power of God. God can take on the lion in the field, whatever the predator is. The rod is the strength of God, able to destroy all evil, including disease. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff, that's the shepherd's hook. Don't go that way, Hal. You see the hook come out and push it. Come over this way. I'm going to lead you in my paths, my ruts of righteousness for my namesake, because of who I am. And even though you're going the wrong way, I'm going to get you going the right way. Now, for the rest of the psalm, it's going to be thou. We don't go back to he once we got to thou. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that's the soul and substance of what it means to be a man or woman of faith, that Christ is with us always. Yea, for thou art with me. Like that beautiful poem, and then the picture of the footprints in the sand, right? There's two sets, and then there's one set, and then there's two sets. And the person is saying to Jesus, Lord, I thought you were with me always, every step to the end of the age. How come there's only one set of footprints there? Well, Jesus says to this person, that's when I carried you. That's when I carried you. I've had surgery. I've been under where I had to let God carry me. So have you, many of you. Wow. Okay. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What does that mean? Okay, imagine, you may not have any members, which would be wonderful, or enemies, but you cannot eat and be afraid at the same time. That's why they have power lunches. You cannot eat and be afraid. So the Lord is saying, I'm going to show you how great I am. I'm going to fix a great meal for you right smack in front of that which you fear, so you can eat and no longer be afraid. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. See, I'm protecting this person. You cannot get to him. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This is the sign in the Hebrew time frame of how much one is loved. You to have your head anointed with the love of God. My cup runneth over. That's meaning getting more than you need. More love from God. Your cup runneth over than you need. And the meaning there is agape love. That's how God loves us. And to anoint our head with oil, that's the word. The word is Christos in Greek. Jesu Christos, Jesus Christ. Christos is the same as Messiah. It means anointed. So we're all being anointed by the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And the last section, a statement of enormous faith to hold on to every day. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness and God's mercy. How does it end? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is no end to this. So Jesus would tell us in John 14, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you with me, so that where I am, there you may be also. You think you could in this way, in this week, kind of mull over, meditate, pray Psalm 23, and see if you can get some of that great confidence and faith and comfort and strength that this psalm is offering you. And we'll do another psalm or two next week. So bring your Bibles, my friends. And if you would like to hear this show, I will have it again. I'll put it on my website later today at drhalgreen.com. drhalgreen.com. It's a great psalm. Kind of let it be close to you this week. Have a good week, my friends. God bless you and us all.
KWPC, K236 CF Muscatine. Available everywhere you go.